There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show. Good evening, everybody. Today's date is the 27th of May, 2014. And it is just about 1 minute and 59 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock Central Daylight Savings Time. Or, if you happen to be in Germany, it is actually about 2 minutes after 3 o'clock a.m. on Wednesday, the 28th of May, 2014. And the reason that we've brought up, if you are in Germany, is because tonight is going to be very exciting. I mean, it's exciting for me, and I'm really pleased, because so many times on the show, you've heard about the church, not a building, not a structure, but the church. And you've heard us talk and mention about quote-unquote Fred in Germany. And we're so excited because tonight we've got a new voice, Fred, who pastorizes in Germany. And it's actually 3 o'clock a.m. Wednesday morning. Germany is about 7 hours ahead of Oklahoma in the barn time. Fred's 7 hours ahead of us. So he set an alarm, got up in the middle of the night, stumbled around, turned the lights on, got his Skype cranked up. And Fred, we're very excited to have you. Are you there, Fred?
Yes, I'm right here. Hello, everybody.
All right, well, prove that you're German. Say hello, everybody, in German.
Hallo und einen schönen guten Morgen alle zusammen.
Oh, it sounds better, doesn't it?
Yeah, I said good morning, too.
And
yes.
Good morgen.
You know, one of the reasons, I mean, you literally called me, Jim, this afternoon.
Right.
About 2 hours before we went on the air, and you said, yeah. Hey, I've got Fred. Fred's going to wake up, and we want him on the show tonight. And what did you say about Fred? What did you say? Why? I says, well, what's going on? And what did you say?
Well, I said that Fred had come over to my meetings in Holland. For those of you that are tuned in tonight, I just got back at 5 o'clock. Arrived back home from Holland. I've been there since last week. And I did some meetings in a town called Rotterdam. It's actually a pretty good-sized city. And I was pleasantly surprised because Fred didn't tell me ahead of time that he was coming. Fred showed up at the meeting, and we just had a really good time that weekend. I told the pastor as soon as I saw Fred, I said, let's please include Fred in on everything that we do, so that we can just spend time talking and fellowshipping. So Fred and I talked a little bit while I was there about would he be willing, because I knew we were 7 hours difference, would
right.
he be willing to get up? Because you know, BJ, how we take even more time in our preparation, but I knew it was going to be 7 o'clock until about 10 our time, which is 2 to 5 o'clock in the morning for Fred. So
yeah, Fred's literally has lost most of the good REM, rapid eye movement sleep, to be on the show.
Right.
But see, I mean, because Fred normally listens to the show as it streams.
Yeah.
He likes to go for walks in the wood and just take walks.
Yeah.
And that's when he listens to the show, right,
right,
Fred, when you're walking?
Yes, absolutely. Yep. I enjoy that.
Now, Fred, you call it a forest. What's it like? Is it woods, or is it just like a lot of pine trees with all kinds of trails? What is it like?
No, it's really woods. Okay. But that's what I would call it, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it's not pine trees, aren't they? Oaks or something?
In our region, mostly pines and I don't know the English name of the other. Sorry.
how high is the elevation in some of those wooded areas?
Okay. Our village is around, let me see, 1,500 feet above sea level.
Okay.
And the highest peaks might be around 3,000 feet above sea level. 3,500 maybe.
Half mile.
Yeah. And now, do you get a lot of snow in the wintertime?
Usually we do, yes.
What, one meter, 2 meters, 10 meters?
No, not like that. We are not in the Alp Mountains. I can say only in centimeter, like 30, 40, sometimes 50 centimeters is not unusual. And then there are, on the mountains, you have 1 meter, yeah, maybe sometimes up to 2 meters, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
On top of the mountains.
Now, let's talk about connection. Let's talk about the accuracy of the message, and let's try to help the people that are listening tonight about connection, because one of the things that happened to you, Fred, and I didn't know this until we were talking before we broadcast tonight, but you literally just happened upon this radio show the very first evening we broadcast, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I knew about Jim for quite a while. He's kind of famous even here in Germany. but I never really connected with him or anything. But about 3 years ago, the Lord very clearly told me to connect with Jim and listen to his teachings. And I started to watch some YouTube videos. And then I got on his website, and there I found that he had a radio show. So I tuned into the radio show, and while I was listening, I realized, wow, this is the first show they did. So that was kind of interesting.
Now, describe your... Now, I think this is very important for tonight, because we talk a lot about on this show how organized religion and how the people that go somewhere to listen to someone provide guidance so they can have a better relationship with Christ is the one thing that you really said tonight before the show that I want to make sure gets on the show is when you said your own relationship with God, your own relationship with Jesus, grace, the Holy Spirit, in your own relationship, you changed direction and you noticed how greater and more effective it was. And as you got a better relationship yourself, that made it possible for you to pass that message on to your congregation. Could you explain that to the listeners? Because I think it's a real good way for them to help realize when they're getting good information and when they're not getting good information.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of people who have children might already be aware of that fact. We really don't reproduce what we say. We reproduce what we are. And this is the same. The same thing is true in Christianity in general. Mm-hmm. If you are a pastor or if you are somebody who helps other people in any way, things that we are will be conveyed and will inspire other people. It's not just a message. It's not just a teaching, a theology, a doctrine.
I agree with that, Fred. That's good.
What we live, what we are, what is our personal experience, this is what people will inspire. And people will see that this is real, not just an idea. I think if I as a minister say, well, you should do this or that, and I don't have it incorporated in my life, it does not have a lot of value.
I agree. I think that's really important. And you know, you had given well, actually, Fred, that's one of the things years and years ago that really stood out to me and that set me on my journey was seeing that there was a responsibility in myself to actually have this working in my life. And then that's actually what 3 years ago that kind of stirred all this up. That's again what I was concerned with. And then, of course, you know the rest of the story there with, and most of the people do too, you know, just our journey together, BJ and I, and just talking and sharing and seeing his progress and watching someone be able to navigate without religion is what intrigued me. And then to see more pureness in the outcome is what opened my heart, my mind to say, okay, I just want to listen. I want to get in there and begin to relearn what probably I never did learn. And that is the responsibility of the individual personal relationship with God and having that become so much more the platform for your ministry than just where you went to school, who you traveled with, et cetera, all those things.
Well, this is what I found actually also, for me, it's the most important thing. And I made it also the number one focus in our church. Everything is around this one point. We are supposed to have a relationship with God. I mean, not like a law, but like this is the most natural thing. That's why we were created, to have a relationship with God, to have fellowship with Him. That's our purpose of being. And we are supposed to have a relationship with God into all eternity.
And what do you feel like as far as your people? When you began to make some of those adjustments, what kind of feedback did you get from them? I'm sure you know that they talked with you or you talked with them.
Well, it was not so much that everything was now completely new and strange.
Right. No, but there was emphasis, right?
We were going in that direction, but things became so much clearer now, and that meant that they were able to see it better for themselves, and that leads us actually to the next step, because I said we will focus on having a relationship with God, and number two, experiencing God in our everyday life. Because if I don't experience God in my everyday life, I actually don't have a relationship with God. I could call it a relationship, but it's not. It's a pseudo relationship. If I have a relationship with my wife, there is interaction and communication all the time involved. Yes. And if I don't have that, I really don't have a relationship, because that's what relationship is all about.
Yeah.
Interaction, communication, experience. I experience my wife in so many ways in my everyday life, and it should be the same thing with God.
Yeah, I do remember with John how he wrote in the first epistle, and this is actually the message. It says, from the very first day we were there taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, saw it with our own eyes, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we're telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this. The infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive in writing is simply this. We want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double our joy. And that's exactly what you're saying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. The Message Bible brings it out in such a wonderful and clear way. I love this language.
Yes.
I wish we had a translation like that in German.
I was going to ask. I didn't know if you did or didn't, but I guess you don't, huh?
No, not in this clarity.
Okay.
Unfortunately, not.
Okay. Yeah, I love this too, and I'm glad to hear that you were mentioning that, because before the show, and this will be a great illustration. BJ didn't hear this. I think he'll like this. You were telling me about an illustration that you gave your people when it comes to a connection.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you can do this only one time, so I do it very often. When I go somewhere to preach, at the beginning of my sermon, I get my mobile phone out, and I tell the people I will order a pizza now, and I make some jokes about it, and before I find out if they have a pizza delivery place nearby, and then I actually order a pizza from them. And when I'm done with it, I ask the people, what do you think? Will we have pizza soon? And most of them say, yes, of course. They are pretty convinced. And then I tell them, well, I really don't think so. Because the one thing I did not tell them is that I actually did not dial the number. Or I dialed the number or act like I dialed the number, but I did not push the connect button. And this is often a problem with people as well. It's like you watch somebody who's making a call. You hear what he says, but you don't hear from the other person. You only see one part of the conversation. And sometimes people think, this is what it's all about, to make the right words, to find the right formula, how to say it. Sometimes I say, well, we might have seen somebody here ordering pizza like for 5, 6, 7, 8 times. Every time it worked. So I used exactly the same words. And
right.
It did not work for me at all. And we don't understand that it's not about the words, it's not about the outside thing, it's about the connection.
Well, see, and what you're saying couldn't be more accurate, because if you go back in time and you look at the life of Jesus when he was walking around with all of his little buddies,
mm-hmm.
people, when they entered a small village or burger town, whatever you want to call them, very quickly, his name was known, and the philosophical beliefs that he believed in, and that people who followed him believed in. I mean, it wasn't a total mystery to people. I mean, when they showed up someplace, people had a basic broad stroke idea of who he was and what was going on. But interestingly enough, like I always say, Jesus wasn't perfect. He was only 100% for those who had an open heart and an open mind.
Right.
Just being in the presence of Jesus didn't accomplish anything, because it goes to the individual's ability to have an open heart and an open mind to accept Christ into their lives. If someone doesn't do that on their own, that free will choice, they're not going to get anything. There's nothing there for them. You can't force it on them. You can't bribe them into it. You can't sell them grace. You can't bribe them with grace. The real testimony of one to another is to show what grace is doing for you in you. And that
mm-hmm.
can't be accomplished unless somebody says, I want that.
That's good.
I want that. That's what I want. That's what I need. That's what I've been missing. Well, the only way that someone says, I want that, I need that, that's what I'm missing, that person has an open heart and an open mind because they're seeking Christ.
Right.
You can't sell that to someone. You can't even convince them of it.
No, in fact, Fred, how many examples, studying the scriptures like we do and preaching these examples, have we preached from scripture that shows one person actually receives something in the midst of a multitude of many others?
True,
and,
yes.
And interestingly enough, what BJ just mentioned, think about the woman with the issue of blood. Think about blind Bartimaeus. And we could go on and on with many others that received from Jesus in the midst of other people. But here's the interesting thing. Even after they got something, the other people still didn't repent and make a decision to receive something from Jesus too. It's an interesting thought that it really does go back to the individual, that a crowd of people could be touching Jesus, but one woman touched not with curiosity, but with conviction. She received something. She even told her story, which you would think would inspire those that were touching with curiosity to say, Jesus, I'd like to receive from you too, but not one of them did.
I actually think that the woman with the issue of blood is one of the best examples for this whole principle, because when Jesus said, who touched me, the disciples said, well, the multitude is thronging thee. Like everybody tries to touch you.
Right.
But it does not say that anything for anybody else happened.
That's correct.
So it seems to me that people were just trying to see if anything would happen. But as you said, this woman, she came with conviction. She was not trying something. She was convinced in her heart. Yes.
Yeah, very good. I just think it illustrates perfectly the individual part, because one would get it. You would think it would inspire everybody else, but it didn't. In fact, you know, we could go to a very interesting illustration. BJ always seems to come up with some great names for Jesus' followers and for the guy that actually walked on the water, whose name was Peter. But
I thought it was Steve.
Well, there you go. See, you're going to side in
okay,
with him
so,
all night long.
All right, wait a minute. There was Steve and Peter?
See,
folks, this is why we needed Fred on the show for clarification. So Jesus was walking with Steve and Peter.
Okay, it's 20 minutes after and it's already started. I can see it. I know where this is going. So, but it's a perfect example that Peter got out and walked and was successful, but no one else would do that. And Fred, if you'll remember, when John wrote his epistle, he actually talking about Jesus being raised up. Remember when they went to the tomb?
Mm-hmm.
John wrote in there that he and Peter, the one who speaks to you, was running with Peter. And the one who writes this got to the tomb first.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, he's showing you that there was a sense of competition. There was, you know, a challenge in their hearts. And my point is, Peter got out on the water and walked. And you mean to tell me out of the other 11 that make up the 12, there was no one else that wanted to get out there too?
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to show you that there's just a small percentage of people that will live by a conviction, which then brings up a point for me to ask you, because you brought this up, and I think it'll give BJ a chance to say something in here too, since I know he likes to say things every once in a while. but that is, you said, I don't feel like what you're experiencing is, you don't feel like people actually know the difference of when they're in the way or when they're attached to the world. They don't know.
Yep. Yep.
Can you expound on that a little from what you told me?
Mm-hmm. We always use the word distractions. And if you look at the story you just mentioned, why did the other 11 disciples stay in the boat? The boat was the security of this world, but it's a false security.
That's correct.
And so the boat actually, in a way, I would say, symbolizes the connection to this world. Sometimes people don't understand, where am I not connected with God? Where am I connected to this world? I mean, this is the point. Wherever I'm not connected with God, I'm connected to this world. But how can I see this? How can I identify those points?
I
found two areas actually most telling, so to speak. Number one, when I'm concerned about something, when I'm worried about something, when my thoughts constantly revolve about something, how this can be, and things like this. And number two, things that make me upset, even the small things during my everyday life, makes me angry, makes me upset. This shows me I'm connected to it. I give it power. I give it power over me. And whenever I do this, I disconnect at that point from grace, disconnect from God. What do you say about that?
Well, I agree that, and this goes to the relationship of certain information in the book where people like to acknowledge, and it sounds good, that the blood of Jesus has washed away everybody's sins. And if you take that at face value, but then you add all your sins are forgiven and that all you need to do is repent and humble and move on, and that at any given moment, on any given day, anyone is welcome and has a relationship with the guys that they can take advantage of. We're born with the ability to be with the guys 24/7. It's a gift. Now, if you take those and you put those together, and then you bring in some more interesting little pieces of information about if you're going to look at somebody the wrong way, pluck your eye out. If you're going to tell somebody something, or you're going to say a lie or say something wrong, cut your tongue out. If you think you're going to steal or hurt someone violently, cut your hand off. Well, if you add that in, it's also saying the same thing about how the connection is fragile, how the connection can be as temporary as your attention span.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you living? Are you living in the Word of God, or are you living in the world of your flesh? Where is your attention? Where is your reality? I mean, you can be sitting inside of a nice, comfortable room and looking out the window at a terrible, terrible storm. And the wind is blowing and furniture is flying by and tree limbs are falling on the ground, and there's thunder and lightning and just more rain and rain and rain, and it's just a terrible storm. And you can be so engulfed in what you're seeing that you can almost become afraid of the weather, and you can completely forget that you are inside of a building, bone dry, you're not hot, you're not cold, and this is something that you are protected from.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you look at this storm in this window and you realize that you're in a room and you're just looking at something that's happening out there, you can look at your life this way. Are you participating in that storm, or are you realizing that you are in the embrace of Christ?
Yeah, that's good.
Are you enjoying grace? Do you see what's in you? Do you see what is afforded to you? Or have you just ignored it and you're looking out this window into the world because there's nothing good of the world. There's nothing good of the flesh. The flesh is temporary. Your relationship for Christ has no limits. It has no boundaries. It goes on after time is over, because the relationship with Christ was there before clocks, before calendars. So it's definitely going to be there afterwards. And I think this encapsulate, well, it doesn't encapsulate, it kind of surrounds what you just said, Fred.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we got some housekeeping to do here. We've got Fred from Germany, who's got a nice little church, and it is a church, and he's been pastorizing. And he's just a real nice guy, lives in a town of around 40,000 people, and it's just a real nice guy. And if you've listened to the show with any regularity at all, we've referred to Fred. Fred has shipped us snacks from Germany many times, and this tonight's no different. I got a big bag of chocolates and cookies and all kinds of wonderful things, and thank you very much, Fred.
Oh, you're welcome.
Okay, if you'd like to email the show, we haven't received one single email so far. Hey, Jim, do me a favor. Turn the fan on, would you?
Yeah.
Turn it on medium. It's kind of warm in here.
Okay.
If you'd like to email the show, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence. And then it's just The Abiding Presence, all one word, no capital letters, no space, The Abiding Presence at the letter G. G as in Grandma's Gravy, gmail.com. We have a couple of texts. If you'd like to text the show tonight, the first word that you type in your text message is the word grace. Do I have to spell grace? G-R-A-C-E. Grace is what you type. Then type the rest of your comment or question or hello, goodbye, whatever you'd like to do. And then you send it to this five-digit high-speed number, 69302. The email address, the texting address, is available on the radio show website, theabidingpresence.com, on the contacts page. We've got a text that says, "Hello, Ranger, Jim, BJ, and hello, Fred. So exciting to hear Fred on the show. Hello to the other listeners also." And it says, from Nick in North Carolina.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, then we have a text message that it says, "What does it mean to be convicted onto righteousness? How is it different from being convicted of sin? What does it look like when it happens?"
Well,
it would look differently to everybody.
Well, sure, but having a conviction unto righteousness would be the conviction of someone like the woman with the issue of blood that had a conviction that if she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, she would be healed. It would be the conviction that God is all you need, and that you are well, and that you're going to respond that way. Versus a conviction of sin has to do with recognizing where you're wrong. So they're very different.
We got our first email. It came in a minute ago. It says, "Wow, you guys are smoking."
Who said that?
It's from Ed.
Oh, cool.
This is from Ed Salt.
Yeah.
So I guess he likes it. I mean, we're not. I mean, I could get up real quick and go to my house and get my, you know, I smoke a pipe. Well, Fred doesn't know this. Probably they don't, but yeah, I smoke a pipe, Fred.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. Just marijuana. Nothing but marijuana. I don't want you to think I'm all day long. It's just me and the guys and a bowl full of the best marijuana that Mother Nature can provide right here on the ranch. Actually, Saturday night I was watching boxing on Showtime, and I had a real nice pipe full of I combined cherry, peach, and vanilla flavored tobaccos. And a neighbor came over real quick to borrow something, and they walked in my house and they go, "What are you baking?" And I go, I'm not baking anything. And they says, "Man, whatever you cooked, it smells great." And then they saw the pipe and they said, "I didn't know you smoked a pipe." And I said, "Yeah," I said, it's crystal meth. And this is what they said. They said, this is what drugs smell like?
They believed everything you said.
They believed it. Oh, yeah, God. But you have to realize, these are the people that pray for me.
Uh-huh, that think you're going to hell?
Yeah, this is my next... Well, they're not next. They're a mile away on the other side of the ranch, but they're quote-unquote a country neighbor. Yeah, this is the lady, Fred, that's... She prays for me every day because she says I'm headed to hell. And after I told her it was crystal's meth, and she goes, that's what drugs smell like? And she says, BJ, I could save your soul if you could only find... You know, then she started to talk about if I could only find a way to come to her building, and they'd baptize me, and, you know, and they'd take good care of me. And I said, I'm not going to take a bath with a bunch of strangers. And she says, no, that's not what baptizing is. And she says, see, these are the kind of thoughts why you're burning. You're just burning. I feel so sorry for you. And her husband says, dear, it's time to go. We just got another text here. It says, hello. It says, hi, all. Great example, BJ. Oh, this is from Dorothea, New Jersey.
Oh, yeah.
We've heard from her before.
Yep, we have.
You know, Fred, one thing I want to ask you is I asked you a question earlier on about 32 minutes ago when I said that in your own relationship with the guys that you changed direction. And you found some answers, mm-hmm. and that you said it gets easier and easier, and your relationship with Christ is just advances all the time, and I said how this puts you in a wonderful position, and how you've passed this on to your congregation. Now my question is, those of the people that come. And listen to you and you fellowship together with them. Has it been the same for them, or what types of questions do they ask you? What kind of roadblocks do they have? Distractions? Because what do you count? How do you counsel them? What do you? How do you help them to open up their own heart and their own mind to make those free will choices? How do you do that? What do they ask you?
Well, first of all, I think it's very important to make it clear that it is not hard to have a relationship with God and to experience God, but it should be very, very natural, and people look often in the wrong direction, and they expect something, how can I say this? Something spectacular. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. Exactly.
And they miss it. I often say people look for the spectacular, and they miss God. They miss the natural presence of God. The point is, people experience God in a church service, and I often ask the question: when you experience God, when you experience His presence, when you feel really close to Him, is it most of the time in a church service or outside a church service? And usually people say, well, it's in a church service. And this is, people get the wrong idea. They think they need a certain building, a certain environment, a certain type of music to experience God. But the point is, when we come to a church service, we come with expectancy, and we are willing to turn everything else off and focus clearly on God. And so what I do, I say, well, if God is real, and if our relationship with Him is real, and if He is everywhere, we should be able to experience Him in the same way in our everyday life.
That's right.
And then I encourage people to recognize grace, as you have done so often on the show, which I thought was very, very helpful. And when I explain this to people, they start recognizing things they even might have experienced, might have had before, but they did not recognize that it was God. And what happens if we, so to speak, put out our antennas and look for grace, look for God in our everyday life, it sharpens our sense of his awareness.
Right.
And the truth is, he is there 24/7. But if I am not aware of his presence, it is like as if he was not there. Because, if I have like a 20 euro bill in my pocket, but I forgot about it, I will never spend it. I will never use it. And people got a hold of that. And the result was people made their own experiences and started to share. And what I did in a church, people sometimes had testimonies of, you would say, not really spectacular things. You would even say very small things. But especially in the beginning, I made a big deal out of it. And I said, okay, mm-hmm. Let's celebrate this. You have experienced God in your everyday life.
Right.
And it encouraged people to look for it more and to expect it more. And so people started their individual journey or continued their individual journeys and are seeing God in so many ways. And as I have told before, sometimes we had so many testimonies that I did not really get to preach in one sense, but what I do very often when people share a testimony, I sometimes give comments on it or give a scriptural reference on it and explain, and I teach only for some minutes. And I say, can you see the connection and what this lady experienced? This is exactly what is described in this scripture here.
Well,
and people start to understand and connect.
That's why you have a church, and that's why it's a church. It's not a building or a structure, because think of what you just described. You're talking about acknowledging grace on the most simple, most fundamental level. And then you're talking about one person talking about their connection with the guys, their enjoyment of God's love with someone else, who then refers to the book saying, well, here it is, right here. And this is how it relates. And this is why it's working. That is testimony.
Yeah.
That is what is supposed to happen in a congregation. That is what a church is supposed to be. Because people are not coming there looking for something. They're coming because they want to share something.
Mm-hmm. You know,
that's the difference.
Fred, you remember Saturday when you were there at the meeting that we had. Do you know when we opened it up for question and answers, did you see mm-hmm. how much more involved everyone became? With the questions and then with the answers. There's something about that method. I realize there's a diversity of what we do. So, you know, the fact that someone's testimonies or multiple testimonies could preach the sermon and all we got to do is say amen, go home. Or we can do like you are, where you're fielding the testimonies and adding comments to it. But I'm always intrigued by how much the services seem to take on a really wonderful feeling of success, like we really accomplished something when you do question and answers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Actually, you said it before. This works well for me, for us, because the size of the church is quite small, and as you said, also in our meeting in Rotterdam on Sunday morning, it would not have maybe worked so well. But I believe that, or I'm not opposed to large churches or growing churches, and we are growing ourselves, but I believe that as a pastor, I should always supply an environment for exactly this thing. And if I cannot do this in this way in a, so to speak, Sunday morning service anymore, we need to have other kinds of meetings, like cell group meetings or something like this, where we break down the congregation into smaller groups and people are able to share and encourage and inspire each other with their personal experiences.
Right.
Do you remember when you were using the word, Fred, you were using the word spectacular, amazing, mm-hmm. something grandiose?
Yep.
This is a common denominator of religious organizations and structures and buildings. They talk about it because it sounds glorious and it sounds powerful and it's amazing how somebody can part the Red Sea and how somebody can build a boat for all the animals. All these grandiose winning lottery ticket worth millions of dollars types of things. But yet at the same time, what they don't understand is that if you can't notice the most fundamental, the simplest of connections with Christ, the day-to-day grace that is lost to commuter traffic, that's lost to television shows, that's DJ. Lost to arguments. It's if you can't
flip the switch or something.
Are you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now, but you were gone for a moment.
Oh, really? Wasn't on our end.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Did you touch something on your computer? Because we can hear you fine.
No, I didn't. I thought you were.
Well, remember what I said. If we get disconnected, you call us back.
I sure will.
Okay, but I show we got a good strong signal and everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. That if somebody can't acknowledge the most simplest of wonderments of life, how could mm-hmm. they ever expect something amazing, miraculous, a miracle? The whole fact that things have to be miraculous, have to be a miracle, show of what I like to call the plan B, where
right.
there's no progress. There's
right.
there's no advancement, Jim,
yeah.
because they have to make it sound special, because if you bring it into people's daily lives
right.
and you tell someone that, look, you were born with it. It doesn't matter how old you are, what you look like, what you do for a job, or what your where your mailing address is, you have this. You were born with it. It's not special. It's supposed to be commonplace and ordinary.
Right.
Well, then the first thing that they're going to say is, why am I not using it? Where is it? But if someone doesn't have it themselves, if they don't know how to apply grace, if they don't know how to recognize grace, then the only choice they have is to talk about the amazing things it can do.
Right. There's two illustrations that come to mind from what you're saying. Do you know, all these emails that we get, every once in a while one sticks out. And one of the ones
right.
that stuck out to me, do you remember the person that said, okay, well, I get that, but what I want to see are the bigger things. In other words, they were what's the word when you put something down? They were diminishing the idea that the everyday, regular, small things that Fred was talking about, that you were talking about, were, okay, I get the idea, but I want to see the big things. Okay, the miracle, the supernatural thing.
Right.
And that email and that thought stuck out to me, and I've never forgot that, because that is a mentality. Because if grace is everywhere, and it is literally simple, and it's small, and it's literally in your life at all times, then here's what I see about that. The reason why you wouldn't want to just look at it all the time is because you don't want to be bothered to find it that much. In other words, it creates a lot of responsibility in your life if you know that grace is literally, potentially, hundreds of times showing itself to you, drawing you into a deeper relationship all the time. And if you can hardly even notice it, what does it say? That you're too busy, that you're distracted, that your attentions are in the wrong place. The things that Fred was talking about, I'm either connected to God or I'm not connected to Him. In fact, BJ, I don't know if being out in the country, if you remember this. I remember it, but it was right at the very end of it where it wasn't that way anymore. And that was, do you remember the old phone systems where there would be an operator that would literally be on duty at all yep. times, and she would be taking plugs out and putting plugs in?
Right.
Well, that's kind of how I see it. You know, we're either taking a plug out of God and putting it into the world, or possibly all our plugs are into the world, and every once in a while we put one into God, maybe on a Sunday morning, for a few minutes. But the sad part would be if we were to take that plug right back out by time we leave the building. That would be sad, but that's usually what takes place. So I really feel like when you get to the very small but so significant little experiences with God all the time, that is a life of accountability. And in my opinion, it's a development. It's a discipline. It becomes an accountability, a responsibility. But all of it, and I go back to what you said, Fred, becomes a very fun and exciting way to experience God. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, for me, although I had some experience that some people might call big or extraordinary or whatever, for me, the biggest thing and the most important thing is when I'm connected with God, I am at peace. There is a calmness,
yes,
a serenity,
right,
a safety, a security. With everything I'm doing, I know I'm safe. I know there's nothing that really actually can go wrong, because if something looks wrong, grace will fix it. And so this is for me, it's the greatest thing, and this yeah. is what makes life fun.
Very, very interesting. Yep. I have a verse here. It's over in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. And it really goes to what we're talking about.
What's it say? Where is it now?
Hebrews 5 and verse 14. It says, "But solid food belongs to those who are of full age." And this is where Paul was reprimanding some of his followers by saying, I have to keep giving you milk all the time, but you should be on solid food by now. So he went on to say, those the people that should be eating the meat or something that's solid are those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And what Paul is saying is very simply that the more you practice these small and yet very significant choices to see grace, the more your senses become exercised. And you say, what senses? Well, physical senses can become exercised to discern God, to discern the Spirit of God, the presence of grace. But most importantly, your spiritual senses become exercised, where God becomes real to you, and He becomes more in view. You become more attached to sensing His presence or feeling Him. And I like this because it talks about practicing the small little exercises that actually cause you to begin to multiply in success.
Well, think about the word, the phrasing that he's used here. He says, I continue to feed you milk.
Because you should be on solid food.
What he's saying is you're still a child. You haven't matured in your relationship with Christ. I'm still having to bottle feed you like a baby.
Right.
You're not moving forward. By now, you should be on solid food, which means in your relationship with the guys, you should be advancing. Right. You should be growing.
He called them unskilled in righteousness.
He's basically saying, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
You don't have any traction. You're spinning your wheels. You're still at the very beginning. So what? You've been baptized. So what? You've been saved. So what? You believe in Christ. Okay, now, what are you doing about it?
Right.
You're not doing anything with it.
Yes.
Where are you going? Because I see no progress. Well, in a kinder, gentler way, he would say, I'm still having to feed you milk.
Right.
You're not on solid food. And what is solid food? One of the most important things is meat. And meat would mean that you are progressing,
yes,
that you are there, you are with the guys, you have grace in your life. Meat, the sustenance,
right,
the bulk of the relationship.
He said, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, they're practicing.
We got a text here that came in a little while ago. It says, I love Fred's example of how much his church shares testimonies. I want this in my building so that it will continue its transformation into a church. And then we have another text that says, great information tonight, guys. We also have an email that came in a little 17 minutes ago. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, Fred, and Ranger, and all the listeners. Super show tonight. It's exciting to have Fred echoing the same message and helping us to grasp grace even more. And this is from Catherine from Pickering. Isn't that in Canada? Isn't Pickering in Canada? I believe
maybe,
it is.
Maybe. My mind's going on that one, but yeah.
Okay, folks, if you'd like to email the show, we'd really like to hear from you tonight. The way you email the show is the name of the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. And remember to send a text if you'd like. Your text messages, the first word that you type is the word grace. You type grace, then you type the rest of your comment, and then you send it to 69302. That's 69302.
I have a question for Fred, and it has to do with the weekend that we spent together and the ministry, okay? Because this will help me to see from your perspective, because you've literally listened to, if I'm correct, every single show.
Yeah, basically, yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay. What did you hear this weekend that maybe stood out to you that you felt like you saw some growth or development from what you've heard before? What maybe stood out to you this weekend that you heard? That actually will help me, because I know that you've listened to all of this that we've been doing.
To be honest, there was nothing that was completely new in a way that I thought, wow, I have never heard this before.
Okay.
But it was fresh, and it was very precise, and I had a feeling it was really, really easy to understand. In the earlier times, sometimes I had to do a lot of thinking and processing, and for me to make sense of it or to relate it to my life, to my situation. I think over the course of time, even with the radio shows, you become
right,
clearer and clearer. I really can see that. But I would also add something else. Earlier I talked about the peace, the serenity, the calmness that is connected with, or a result of,
right,
being connected with God.
Right.
And this is what I really experienced throughout the whole weekend.
And that's great.
The good thing, what I really like is when we get to a point where we get used to this, okay, and we live, it's not just a, how can I say this, well, the right
becomes,
words?
Well, it becomes normal, right?
It's learned behavior. Yeah. It's learning how to live a different type of a life, a newer reality.
Exactly. It's not just a single experience here and there, but it's a steady flow in my life. Then, when I get to a point where a distraction shows up, I usually am able to recognize it much easier, because this is what happens. I lose that peace.
Well,
I lose that sense of security, of safety, and I get upset, I get worried, I can give you an example right from last weekend.
Okay,
yeah, please do, please.
So as I said, on the weekend I was taken out of all of my usual routine, and I could focus only on the meetings with Jim. And between the meetings, after the meetings, we met, we fellowshipped, we shared, and that was all very, very helpful, very pleasant for me. And I was like embalmed in the presence of God, in the peace of God. Then, on my way back on Sunday afternoon, I traveled to Rotterdam by train, and I had to switch trains for like 3 or 4 times. And on my first connection, which I had to make still in Holland, well, there were some other things that were not going right, but the first connection I missed by 2 minutes. And that wouldn't even mean, would I even be able to get home on the same day?
Oh, no.
Like Sunday. And the schedule was that I would be home at 11. But now I did not know if I would get home at all, and I had some jobs on Monday, early Monday morning. So there was, from the natural, a reason to become worried. But I put it aside. I said, okay, Grace, I'm looking forward to see what you will do for me. And I went to the ticket counter, and they found a new connection for me, and one where I would have been home like Monday morning at 5 o'clock or so. And I thought, no, that cannot be it. And they checked again and found another one, another route actually, through other cities, through another part of the country. And I would be home at like 1 in the morning. And so I thought, well, okay, let's do this. So I was waiting for that train. And that first train would take me from Holland straight into Frankfurt, which is a 3.5-hour trip with a high-speed train, which was going at times over 250 kilometers an hour. Okay. And when the train arrived, I already saw a lot of people on the platform. I got in the train. The train was packed full. I did not have a reserved seat. I had reservations, but they were with my original connection. And so I was standing in the area where you get into the wagon, you know.
Right.
And even there, the places on the ground were already mostly occupied by people who were sitting there. And this is the point where I kind of got upset, where I said, okay, what? This cannot be it. I actually choose to go by train, not by car, because I wanted to do some work on the train. I had some paperwork with me. I want to read something, listen to something, stuff like this. And but immediately I knew, now I have a choice.
Right.
I have, from the natural, I have reasons to be upset, to be angry, to be worried. But this is what I was talking about, indicator for not being connected.
Right.
And I realized, okay, I have a decision. It's not just that it has to be this way. And so I decided not to be angry, not to worry, but to say, okay, Grace, time to get to work.
Yes.
Let's see what you can do for me.
That's good.
And the next thing that happened was that three guys who were sitting not far away from me were getting up to go to the wagon where you can eat something, you know? I don't know what the name
right.
is in English.
Right.
And so I went there and asked their friends if I could sit there while they were gone. And I said, yeah, sure, no problem. So I was sitting there for a long while. They were gone for a long time. When they got back, I had to get up. That was, and then I stood another 15 minutes. And then at the next stop, an elderly couple was leaving. And I asked if I could get their place. And they said, yeah, absolutely. And I had a really, really nice place for the rest of the trip. And it was without anger, without worry. I was in peace all the time, enjoyed my trip, did everything I planned to do, and it was a wonderful trip. But I realized it could have gone the completely opposite way if I would have connected with the world, with the circumstances, if I would have allowed that the circumstances take power over me. Do you understand what I mean?
I do. I mean, I have a similar example today. And we talk about this so much on Jim's radio show, Fred. And if you're just logging on, we have a lot of people that join us about halfway through the show. We finally have him. It's Fred from Germany, our German chocolate candy connection. It's actually about 7 minutes after 9 Tuesday night here in the barn, but it's actually about 7 minutes after 4 Wednesday morning a.m. Fred right. set his alarm clock, got up in the middle of the night and cranked up his Skype so he could be on the show tonight. So you're listening to Fred from Germany. One of the things that I like to talk to people about is they'll ask how to get a better relationship with the guys. Are the guys real? Where are they? How do you tap into grace? And I just kind of look at them kind of mystified, almost with that dog look, you know, when you just kind of open your eyes and you tilt your head to one side or the other, because I look at them and say, do you not love and acknowledge the grace that you have right now? Then I tried to explain to them how easily they're distracted. A perfect example is today here at the ranch. It's been raining for about a day or two here, and you can imagine rain, dirt, horses, ranch. It's pretty muddy. It's not a very clean place to be. And today was getting horses ready for their summer vacation. And so we were trimming feet and nailing shoes on and worming them and getting them ready for traveling across the country. And a couple of the horses did not want to cooperate. I mean, they were bucking, kicking, biting, rearing. They didn't want shoes on their feet. They didn't want to be messed with. And people were getting knocked down, and people were getting hurt, and before you knew it, blood was squirting up in the air, and it was just people were just beside themselves, I was just dripping with sweat because it was very humid, and it was just a hot, humid, rainy day at the ranch, just a tough day. The horses were winning and the people were losing.
Yeah.
And finally, I just told everybody, I said, you guys got to go. And they says, well, what do you want us to do? And I said, go to town. Go get some dinner. Go get some snacks. Smoke cigarettes. I don't know. But I just want everybody to leave this barn. And within seconds of people walking out of the barn, I was no longer really that heated up anymore. I was a lot more comfortable, and so were the horses. And while these people were gone for a half hour, the horse stood perfectly still. I trimmed its feet. I nailed the shoes on the bottom of the feet. I even had time to scratch the horse's rear end, which what they love. Well, I mean, who doesn't like their rear end scratched? I mean, honestly. And so anyways. And so anyway, well, you know, hey, just being honest here. And
yes,
so,
absolutely.
And so anyways, I thought, you know, it's not that the guys were busy.
Right.
It wasn't that Grace hadn't gone on a 2-hour vacation from the barn. It was that I was getting distracted and caught up in other people's dramas, their pain, them getting knocked on the ground, concerned. And finally, when they were gone, it was gone. The flesh was gone. The world was gone.
Right.
And there was nothing for me to acknowledge but this wonderful animal and Grace.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I realized the really shame of it all. I thought, shame on you, you stupid horseman, because I should have been enjoying it even though these other people were here.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, this is how easily you can be distracted. This is how easy it is for you to get caught up in the flesh and the world and all of a sudden find yourself saying, where is Jesus? I need you.
But most people would just call that, well, we had a tough day today.
But there are no tough days.
But that's my point.
There's only tough times. And the only reason there's tough times is because people choose there to be a tough time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, without explaining what has been explained through Fred or for you, BJ, people would look at that and they wouldn't put two and two together themselves. They would just have said that, you know, I couldn't find a seat. It was terrible. It was horrible. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't do the work that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
You know, what a shame. I missed my train, et cetera, et cetera. Or they would just go
But look at Fred's attitude and his perspective.
Right.
His attitude was, this cannot be all there is.
Right.
There's got to be grace here somewhere. I just have to endure this. What Fred described was basically a miniature story of Job's life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of.
No, it really was. How there's just trial and trial and tribulation and tribulation and how it just has to end. And this isn't the way things are supposed to be. Well, what Fred was doing was balancing the influence of the flesh in the world versus the influencing of grace. And Fred won out because his relationship with the guys is more important to him than his relationship with the world that he's walking in.
That's good. Mm-hmm. You know, Jonah made the comment. He said, if I yield to what seems so real, the circumstances of this fish, which he called a lying vanity, he said, then I will forsake God's mercy. But that's when he turned and he immediately began to give God thanks. And then that's when God made the fish spit him up on land. So it's a great example for all of us. And I like, you know, part of the example I think that's encouraging for the people tonight. It's not an example for either one of you that it's like you were 100% perfect throughout the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
The example that I like about it is you, so to speak, caught yourself in the middle of it. And look at how acknowledging what you were about to buy into, or to some degree had already bought into to a degree, look at what happened when there was a repentance. Immediately you found grace. Immediately things began to change. And that's a true testimony of what we're really wanting to get across to everybody. Because even though your mind may think, well, that's a small thing, getting a seat and having peace, and of course, you know, the horses wouldn't always be bucking, you could probably get them the next day. And well, listen, it's not a small thing. Everything is a small thing. Everything is a simple thing. Jesus died and defeated all of these different things. A cancer is not any more difficult than the horse that was struggling because there was distraction and grace wasn't being acknowledged. A cancer is not any bigger than finding a seat and recognizing that standing here and buying into that this is not going the way it should be is all there is. Mm-hmm. They're all simple. We're the only ones that make something become more of an issue because all the issues are gone. And I love absolutely, that about the woman yes. with the issue of blood. The issue was healed instantly when there was a connection. When she touched Jesus, that was her connection. It came because of her conviction. And the moment she touched him, the issues were gone. So as long as, Fred, if you would have stayed frustrated, the issues would have remained. If BJ hadn't changed the circumstances by letting people move where he could immediately begin to recognize, it would have just continued. And who knows what it would have happened. Maybe somebody would have been hurt worse. Mm-hmm. This is a great example for people that right in the midst of the heat of battle, where maybe you are not winning, immediately you can turn the thing around.
Yeah. Can I add something?
Sure.
Because I find often that people tell me like, well, you don't understand my life. You don't understand the problems, the challenges that I have. Because when I share about grace and the goodness of God, everybody thinks automatically I never ever have any problems or challenges. But that's not what it's about. And people think living with God or where I need to go is where I never have a problem, never have a challenge. But that's just fantasy. The point is to experience God in the challenges, in the situation, in the barn or in the train or wherever. And that's why I believe also it's very important that we share those kind of testimonies that people actually understand we have challenges in our life. And the point is not having any challenges. The point is not connecting to it, not being dominated by it.
Right.
Do you understand? Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, very good.
Yeah. Now, folks, we're not getting a lot of text messages. We're not getting a lot of emails. I'd like to know what's going on, how you're thinking, how you're feeling about Fred's input into the show tonight. Fred, when you start to talk like this and you start to share this information, mm-hmm. What's the first reaction and response that you get from people?
Well, that's very different, but...
Is it well received? Do they question it?
No. I think... in general, with the people that I'm connected with, but I'm dealing with, it's very well received. I mean, I need to say I love my church. I think I need to brag a little bit here because I don't want to be anywhere else. This is like family. And just great, great, great people. So we are on this journey together.
Yeah, I like that.
Although everybody has their individual experiences and their individual relationship with God, we have an atmosphere of trust and openness. So this is really, really good. On the other side... people who are not from a Christian background, I need to explain a little bit. The area where we live here is what used to be the communist part of Germany, East Germany. And actually, it's really for some people hard to believe, but surveys revealed that this region has the highest percentage of atheism in the whole world.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That means people who do not believe in God at all, that any God exists.
Right.
Okay, so
that's easy to understand, though.
In the past, when I talk to people about those things, experiencing God, and they thought like, well, yeah, I was a bit crazy, and they wouldn't listen to it. But during the last months, I experienced a change in that, and an openness, and even people who don't know God, they recognize God's presence on me, and they recognize God's presence on the congregation and our meetings.
So the community you live in, what you've just described, are you finding that there is a small proportion of these people that have no connection with any type of organized religion? They're not even sure if they want to acknowledge the existence or presence of Christ. Are you receiving any of those people that are starting to consider that perhaps there is a God, that perhaps there's something more that I could be enjoying? Are any of those people finding themselves to you?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I could tell you stories.
And here's my question. Don't you find that those people, once they decide that it's even a possibility there could be something to your message, isn't it easy for them to figure it out?
Well, it seems that they have their challenges too. They are connected and attached to the world just like anybody else. And
right.
They need to see where this is. They are attached and connected to the world in different ways than people who come from a religious background. But it's basically the same thing. And they have a hard time, or it takes them a while to accept that there is a world apart from the world they can see or feel,
right.
Because that's what atheism says. It's the only world that exists is the world that you can touch with your natural senses,
right.
And everything else is imagination.
Well, ironically, one of the problems that a lot of people have with recognizing grace is that there's virtually nothing tangible about grace in the flesh and the world. From the face value of jobs, death, taxes, and commuter traffic, and monthly bills, and the responsibility of making money to provide for yourself and your family, that is the type of tangibility that people expect out of Christ, out of a religious organization. And when it doesn't present itself, well, then it's extremely discouraging. And they start questioning their own validity, their own legitimacy, their own worthiness to have any relationship at all. You there, Fred?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Hey, I have a question for you. Now, I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to make sure. You told me that about half of your congregation speak English, but when you guys get together, it's all in German, yes?
Absolutely, yeah.
And wouldn't you say that the most of your days, no matter what you do, the language that you speak is German?
Yeah.
Other than teaching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, of course.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to be clear. So if I came to Germany, I wouldn't be able to understand anybody because everybody would be speaking German.
True, yeah.
But I can't get there because I can't afford to haul my truck to Germany. That, okay, we've got some text messages. One that says, getting a lot of understanding. Thank you. We've got an email that came in. This email came in about a minute ago. It says, do you remember the people that have the farm with the goats, the chickens, the cows?
I do. Yep.
It says, checking in from the farm, I think tonight's show is one of the best. You guys have been a huge encouragement to us, and we continue to learn to live life the way it's intended to be lived. Dolly says hello to Ranger. See, they have a dog named Dolly, remember?
Okay, yeah.
Well, they sent a picture of Dolly.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, Dolly is a very large white dog, and she's got a black spot around her right eye. So it looks like she has a black eye. So there's this big white fluffy dog with a black patch over her right eye. Makes her look like a pirate.
Okay.
That's a picture of Dolly that just came in. Fred, I wish everybody could see that. Okay, we got another text that just came. And thank you for that picture of Dolly. It says... we got another one. Thank you to Jim, BJ, and Pastor Fred for all the ways you are explaining grace to us. Great show. And then we have a text. Remember, folks, you want to text the show. The first word that you type is the word grace, and then you type your message, and you send that to 69302. Also, there's plenty of time to send emails if you'd like. Email the show, theabidingpresence@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. It says, I would love to hear examples from all three of you about witnessing to atheists. Well, we just heard Fred's. So that's one out of three. Jim, you'll be number two out of three, witnessing to atheists. What do you say if someone says, well, is there a God? I really don't think there's a God. I've never seen any signs of God.
Well, one thing I've done in the past is, of course, this always doesn't apply, but I keep my eyes open to see if an individual has any difficulties, because I'm very confident to know that God would heal, God would set someone free, whether they believed in him or not, in the sense that God wants to show himself to everybody. So I've done that before, where someone that had a difficulty, a problem with their shoulder, do you have anything wrong in your body? Do you believe that only medical science can heal you? Yes. How are you doing? Do you still have problems? Yes. Well, what if I prayed to my God, who I believe is here, and all of a sudden your problems disappeared? So that's something that I've done with some of the atheists that I've talked to, is be able to just pray a prayer and see God touch them. That becomes a real effective method where they don't really have anything to argue with. And then I find that I try to stay away from philosophical arguments.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you don't really go anywhere. Because when it comes down to it, really all I can do is testify to what God means to me. And then the individual has to, according to their own choice, decide whether or not that means something to them. That's my answer.
Okay, let's see. Witnessing to atheists.
Can I jump in quickly?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Fred. Go ahead.
I have found out that it doesn't lead anywhere, as Jim said, to argue and to debate and to reason. because we cannot touch God on the level of our intellect. And I can, even if I would be able to convince somebody intellectually about God, it would not do anything for them. So what I always do when I talk to people, I tell them, well, you can experience God. And when you get really in touch with God, nobody can talk you out of it.
Right.
And as Jim said, sometimes people don't have a physical problem or something, but I pray for them anyway and see what God wants to do. And often God's power comes on them and they feel God. They realize there is something, there is a presence, there is a peace. I very often tell them, well, let's imagine you never have experienced electricity. You never have touched a live wire or something. You've heard about it. And some people say, well, this is really real and you this is very powerful. And some others say, well, it's just an imagination. It's just in your mind. And you can go back and forth between the two opinions. But if you have a live wire, copper, no insulation coming out of a wall, and you touch it, nobody will ever be able to tell you this is just your imagination because you have experienced this is real.
Right.
And I encourage people to open themselves to have an experience like that, to open themselves to say, okay, God, if you exist, if you're real, I want to see you. I want to experience you. Come in my life.
Paul talked over in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 about his experience when he went to Athens, where there were people there that were Stoic philosophers. So you would be able to include in that atheists. And Paul did Paul went ahead and became very philosophical in that message, if you remember, Acts chapter 17. And there was hardly anybody that turned to the Lord, and it was the only place where Paul didn't start a church when he did his missionary journey. So coming to Corinth was what took place next in the 18th chapter. And in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul said, when I came to you, I didn't come with excellence of speech and the wisdom of man's words, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith would be in the power of God. Notice, not in the power of my discourse, but in the power of God. God really wants to demonstrate himself, especially to everyone, but especially in circumstances like that where an argument really wouldn't do any good.
Yeah, I like that. I take this question a little differently. Well, I look at everything.
Well, you always do.
I look at everything differently. It says, I'd love to hear examples from all three of you about witnessing to atheists. I think that there are millions and millions of people that I classify as an atheist because where they worship is so far off base. The message is wrong. The belief system that they've been born into and they believe is wrong. I think that they're in that gray area between atheist and someone who just has no information at all. That's how I look at this. And the first thing that I do is I don't really provide any information. I ask one question after another.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask them, how do you explain this? What's your reasoning? How do you think this occurs? What exactly is going on with this? And I'll ask them a simple question. I'll say, whenever something goes wrong, and that feeling in the pit of your stomach, and you think to yourself, I knew I shouldn't have said this. I knew I shouldn't have done this. I knew I shouldn't have went with them. I just knew this was going to go wrong. And I say, how do you explain that? Where does that information come from? And if they say, well, it's from me, and I say, well, if it was from you, then why was it so fleeting, so subtle, and why didn't you act on it?
Hmm.
Because it was information provided to you that you made a conscious choice to disregard and deny and move on.
Right. Right.
How do you explain that?
Mm-hmm.
They get very quiet. And then I ask them, I say, well, what if that was a brush with grace? What if that was Christ trying to reach out to protect one of its children, and you are just too caught up in things to even acknowledge that such a communication could possibly take place?
Yeah.
How do you explain that? And then I just go on to the next one. And after about the third or fourth one, they either are done or their eyes are kind of tearing up. You know, and then they say, so you mean that anybody can have this? And I look at them and I say, I can't be positive, and I'm not going to insult you that I can say I know the kind of person you are. And I says, but I'll bet you a shiny new dime that I've done all kinds of egregious things and wild times in my life that you've never even thought of, let alone acted on. And if grace has availed itself to me,
mm-hmm.
why wouldn't it to you?
Yeah, that's good.
And then and then that's it. We got one here. It says, great examples and analysis tonight. Thanks all. Okay. Hold on, Fred. We got some emails. It says, hello all from Gian. Hey, Gian in China.
Yeah.
Well, we've got China, Germany, and Oklahoma.
That's good.
Now that's grace.
It is.
It says, hello, all from Gian. Don't worry, BJ. Gian here to rescue. I'm getting better with my English by typing the radio show. Thanks. Very good show tonight. Making good sense. Hello to you, Fred, from Gian. Big fan of Germany. How about that, Fred? And then it says, it says, Jim, have you been doing a Bible study? ? Didn't see you. BJ, you are a big encouragement to me. How can Gian sharpening my relationship with God? Oh, my friend Fing wants to say hello. This is Fing. Good show tonight. Very good message. I will listen more now with Gian. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
That's great.
I wonder if I said that right. Fing. It's F-E-N-G. Fing? I don't know. I could have messed it up. I apologize if I did. Okay, this Gian. Now good day to you all. Talk soon. We've got two people in China listening, and they're
good.
Sharing an email.
Let's explain the Wednesday night Bible study. Last week,
Gian. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Last week, I was in Holland, and I was doing a meeting Wednesday night in a place called Amersfoort in Holland. And so this week, tomorrow night, I'll be at the library, 7 o'clock Central Standard Time till 8 o'clock. And it will be live streaming on my Facebook page, or you can go to jimhockaday.com and find it there. So, Gian, I'll be back up and going this week, tomorrow.
Great. And they'll be able to get it on Facebook?
Yeah.
Okay. Then we've got one here from Dave and Barb.
Oh, good.
Dave and Barb in Minnesota. It says, enjoying the show. Thank you to Fred for waking up early to be on the show. Did you get that, Fred?
Yeah.
All right. We got another one here that says, we like the simplicity of your examples tonight. And then it says, welcome, Pastor Fred. So nice to have your input. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Hold on, I'm messing up here. I should read these before. Oh, I don't.
I know who it's from, so.
Well, don't spoil it.
I won't,
anybody,
Fred, get ready.
Get ready, okay. Fred. Hold on, Fred. I'm getting there.
Just Fred will know, too. He's listening to every show.
Has he? All right, here we go. I'll read it again. It says, we like the simplicity of your examples tonight. Welcome, Pastor Fred. So nice to have your input. Grandpa and Grandma, Morgan Hill, California.
All right.
Boy, you got to give it to them, Fred. They really haul the mail with that motorcycle, they don't do. They?
Hello to Morgan Hill. Hello.
Oh, Fred, I'd like you to do something for me, okay? We were moving along at a good clip, and I never get to say a word in edgewise, so I didn't get a chance to ask, but. Do you remember when you said, I love my church, and you made mm-hmm. that statement? Mm-hmm. I'd like you to make that statement again, but I'd like you to make it in German.
Love to. Okay. Hallo, Freikristliche Gemeinde Suhe, wann immer ihr das hört. Ich bin absolut froh und dankbar, euer Pastor zu sein. Und mit euch gemeinsam Gott zu erleben, Gnade zu erleben und all eure Berichte, wie ihr Gott erlebt in eurem Alltag, in eurem alltäglichen Leben, sind eine Ermutigung, Inspiration für mich. Lasst uns gemeinsam weitergehen, Gott erleben und seine Gegenwart freisetzen hier in Suhl, in Deutschland und darüber hinaus. Und ganz besonders liebe Grüße auch an das Deinhaus, eine Gemeinde in Suhl, mit der wir eng verbunden sind. Und ganz liebe Grüße an alle, die mich kennen in Deutschland. Und ich freue mich, von euch zu hören.
That was great.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I wanted to, and the reason is because I'm pretty sure that you'll in passing, you might mention that you were on the show, and that mm-hmm. was such a heartfelt, genuine statement. That I wanted to make sure that anybody that you know in Germany that would happen to listen to the show, that there's something that genuine and special for them from you.
Hey, Fred, let's do a couple of minutes, you and I, just like when I go overseas and I have to do ministry and say some things and people have to interpret for me. Why don't we just, you just interpret for me for a couple of minutes so people can get a feel of what it's like when we minister.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, that'll be fine, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In John chapter 3, Jesus makes some really wonderful statements about relationship with God.
In Johannes Evangelium Kapitel 3 macht Jesus ein paar sehr interessante Aussagen über Beziehung mit Gott.
Actually, Jesus was talking to a very religious person that he thought probably should have had that relationship.
Jesus spricht mit einer sehr religiösen Person dort, die eigentlich dachte, sie sollte diese Beziehung mit Gott schon haben.
This man's name was Nicodemus, but when you really see the truth, Nicodemus didn't know God at all.
Der Name dieses Mannes war Nicodemus, aber die Wahrheit ist, er hatte diese Beziehung eigentlich überhaupt nicht.
So Jesus said, if you want to see God and experience the kingdom, you need to be born again.
Jesus sagte also zu ihm, wenn du Gott sehen möchtest und dieses Reich Gottes erleben möchtest, dann musst du von neuem geboren sein.
And Jesus explained that this born again experience was very special.
Und Jesus erklärte, dass dieses von neuem geboren sein was ganz Besonderes ist.
And to experience this, there needed to be a relationship with God.
Und um das zu erleben, ist eine Beziehung mit Gott notwendig.
So Jesus told Nicodemus that that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the spirit is spirit.
Und deswegen erklärte Jesus dem Nicodemus, dass was aus dem Fleisch geboren ist Fleisch, und was aus dem Geist geboren ist Geist.
The fact that Jesus separated the flesh from the spirit shows us today how we can contact God.
Und die Tatsache, wie Jesus diese beiden Bereiche Fleisch und Geist trennt voneinander, zeigt uns, wie wir Gott heute erleben können.
When you understand that when you ask Jesus into your heart,
wenn du verstehst, dass wenn du Jesus in dein Herz einlädst,
God will do a spiritual work in your own spirit.
Dann wird Gott ein geistliches Werk tun in deinem Geist.
It's not a work of the flesh.
Es ist kein Werk des Fleisches,
but it is a work of the Spirit.
Sondern ein Werk des Geistes.
And God wants to do that work in every one of our hearts tonight.
Und Gott möchte dieses Werk in jedem von uns tun.
Where he becomes real to us.
Wo real wird für
with
uns.
A very simple decision.
Mit einer ganz einfachen Entscheidung.
To invite him into your life.
Wir laden ihn ein in unser Leben.
And Jesus said, this is the beginning of your experience with God.
Und Jesus sagte, das ist der Anfang unseres Lebens mit Gott.
Thanks, Fred. I enjoyed that.
All right, me too. Yes.
I did too. okay, we got an email here. It says, hello to Fred. Kitchen counter couple here. We are believing that Germany will win the World Cup. What's the World Cup?
Soccer.
Soccer?
Uh-huh.
Who plays soccer?
The whole world does.
Yes, soccer is
huge.
The biggest thing in Germany, the biggest sports.
Is it really?
Absolutely.
Are you guys any good, Fred?
Hmm?
Is Germany any good?
Well, what shall I say? I think there are chances that we might win the World Cup, but
is that a big deal? Is that a big deal?
Some other. Oh yes, it's in Brazil this year.
Bigger than Super Bowl.
But there are other very strong teams, so we will see about that.
Okay. Well, the only sport that's recognized on this ranch is No, not golfing. yeah, it's a shame you have to leave, Fred. Good night, Fred. we play a lot of B tennis.
Tennis with beads?
No, bees. B-E-E-S. You know, bees that fly, bees.
Oh, okay.
There's a variety of bee that rarely stings, even though they have a stinger. They never sting anyone. And they're a larger variety of bee, and they're called wood bees because they make their homes by drilling holes, by eating holes in the wood framework of barns and sheds in the country. And they literally will make so many holes and make so many bee little homes that they can actually weaken a structure.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And they fly kind of slow, and they kind of stay close to the barn. So what you do is you take a tennis racket.
I know this. I do this too.
And you swat them. So we have tennis rackets, and you're... And what you do is the winner, the person who wins, has swatted the most wood bees. And so it's called bee tennis.
So they look just like a bumblebee.
They look like a bumblebee, but they don't really buzz.
No.
And
they don't sting?
Well, they have a stinger, but I've never been stung. I don't know anybody that's ever been stung by one.
No.
And they're not aggressive.
No, they aren't.
They don't like come after you or you know they're not a very smart bee because if you swat one if you miss they'll still kind of just hang out in the general area every time I swing for the bleachers it's a home run
We use a badminton racket.
Well, see,
which is a little bit longer.
Yeah, see, that's cheating. Mm-hmm. It's a longer handle.
And I started doing this because they love the wood of a playset for kids.
Oh, like a
little
slide and swings.
They love that wood, and then the girls would freak out because they'd go up underneath and then they'd come out, you know, into the little holes.
And they fly and
So I just wait there until they come out, and bam!
Yep. It's called bee tennis.
Yeah, that's cool. I play it too.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, bee tennis is more popular and it's larger than some soccer World Cup, whatever that is.
Well, I'm sure there'd be quite a few million people that would argue with you, but that's okay.
What I'd like to do tonight is it's about time to say something to music.
Yeah.
And Fred, I would like you to. Well, you know what? We're going to do two. We're going to have two things said to music. We're going to have one in English, and we're going to have one in German. Fred, are you up for that?
Absolutely.
I mean, I didn't tell you, so, I mean, if I'm catching you off guard, you can decline if you want.
No, let's do it.
Okay. Who wants to go first?
Jim, you go ahead.
Oh, okay.
You want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Hold on. Let me get to the music. I'm on the wrong computer. I got to get to the right computer here. Too busy talking about B tennis. Okay, here we go.
Okay. Well, Father, we thank you tonight for giving us a great time, a lot of laughs, a lot of joy, but most important, an encouraging night where the testimonies of everyone participating seems to lift the heart and lift the soul and cause us all to realize that this is extremely attainable, to find you, experience you, and to let grace be a focus in our life, where instead of trying to do everything and doubling our effort, we literally get out of the way, acknowledge grace, invite you to do what we can't do. So Lord, I thank you tonight for showing us all and encouraging us that even from this very night, not even waiting until morning, grace will be all over us and we'll have great and wonderful testimonies just like we've heard tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, Fred, are you ready? Wait a minute. Let me get the music queued up here. Okay.
Vater im Himmel, ich danke dir für diese wunderbare Zeit mit meinen Freunden Jim und BJ und mit allen, die dieses Programm gehört haben. Ich danke dir, dass es leicht und einfach ist, dich zu erleben. Und ich bitte dich für jeden, der das Programm heute Abend gehört hat, dass du unsere Augen öffnest, dass wir mehr von dir sehen, mehr von deiner Gnade sehen, mehr von deiner Gegenwart sehen, dass du uns hilfst, unsere Sinne zu schärfen, dich wahrzunehmen in unserem Alltag. Und ich danke dir dafür, dass du da bist, dass du da bist und dass wir dich erleben können in jedem Moment, in jedem Augenblick unseres täglichen Lebens. Danke, Herr. Amen.
Danke, Herr.
Well, that was great.
It is.
You know, and one point that I want to make sure gets made about tonight's radio show is that we have someone who we hadn't met, who didn't know us, we didn't know him, and the message of the radio show from the very first radio show started to fuel a fire to simmer, to cook a recipe that made it more profound and easier for him in his relationship with the guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then he took his own experiences and shared those in his church with his congregation.
Right.
And their experiences turn into testimony after testimony of the effectiveness of grace.
Right.
Okay. It shows that it doesn't matter who you are, where you live, whether you speak English or Chinese like Jian,
right,
and Fing,
right,
or German like Fred.
Sure.
That it can't be about location or who you are or the language that you're familiar with.
Right.
It has to be about your ability to have an open mind and an open heart and to recognize that you have something that has been with you forever.
Yeah. Very good.
And I just wanted to make sure that we got that across.
Yeah, I like
hey,
it.
Hey, Fred, can we get you on the show again sometime?
Sure, absolutely. That was fun.
All right, well, don't go anywhere because we're going to... Well, I want to say goodnight to you off the air and stuff, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
It's about candy. It's about important.
yeah, okay. Let's talk about that.
All right, we'll be right back
with
you.
Before you close the show, let me just say hello to all the listeners. And especially to those people who write emails and texts on a regular basis. I have never met you, but I feel so very close to you. And it's a blessing to know all of you through this radio show. So wherever you are in America and all over the world, I love you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yep, perfect.
Yeah, we'll get you on again. That and the candy you're in. We'll be right back with you, Fred.
All right.
What'd you think?
That was awesome.
I thought it was a good show.
Yeah, I do too.
And Amsterdam was good.
Oh, yeah.
Well, folks, I want to thank you for listening. If you're a new listener, like Feng in China.
Right. Man, I love
welcome.
Hearing
from her. Yeah, I like right. hearing from Gian, too. And I hope I'm saying it right.
Yeah.
We want you to take care of yourselves and yourself. Remember, your pets. And Ranger. Ranger. Bark in German. That's a German bark, folks.
There you go.
Bark in German. See? A bark is a bark, folks. Right, Ranger? And remember, folks, dog spelled backwards is... Ooh, that was serious.
That almost sounded like your machine over there.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.